Our scripture today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2 through 7. Many of you may be familiar with this or have heard it before. I do recommend turning into your Bible and reading along. Let's see what we've got on time here. Okay. Excuse me. Let's pray before we read it. Lord, we thank you for this, your word, which we're about to go through together. We thank you, Lord, for the light that it bears in our lives. We thank you for the show of grace, your involvement with us this day. And we ask you, Lord, also for your grace, that the expounding upon the word might be pleasing and honoring to you, that your light will shine and we might be able to see it. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 7. Hear now God's word. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In your devotion, your Advent devotion for today, the scripture that we're focusing on is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Now, the whole scripture there that we just read, you should have heard at one time or another in your life. And if you haven't yet, I'm glad you get to hear it now. It's a great scripture that is oftentimes read because for us Christians, this reminds us, tells us of Jesus and that God brought Christ into this world to bring light, but also to be that righteous king for us in the line of David, to be that Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so the word light, as we mentioned in the children's sermon today, has been synonymous with Jesus and Christmas for many, many, many years. Now, I like this beginning, since this is what we're focusing on. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. There's something visceral, is that the right word? Vivid, you should use the word vivid a lot, about darkness. Something scary about it. Anyone, darkness makes them a little nervous? Used to, for me, even today. If I come to the church and it's pitch black at night, sometimes, you know, I pull late nights here in the office. I'm always afraid to walk in the sanctuary with no lights on. It's always scared me because I'm afraid that God will decide at that moment to talk to me and I wouldn't survive it. It's just darkness, something about it. Now, when you're afraid of darkness, what are you afraid of, really? What about the darkness are you afraid of? What's that? Not being able to see. Nothing? Are you saying you're not afraid of darkness?
Drake says monsters.
Monsters, yes, that'll work. Right, because you don't see anything. Jonathan? Hey, you're taking my sermon. Shh. I shouldn't have called on you. No, yeah, it's that unknown, right? That's what the darkness is. You're afraid of the unknown. You don't know what is there and around you, as Johnson so helpfully explained. It's not that we're afraid of being alone in the dark. It's that we're afraid of not being alone in the dark. That's what we're really afraid of. I enjoy every so often lying in the darkness, you know, at night and just being there. However, it's the weird noise that gets me. My grandmother had a trailer that we would go to every summer. My dad's mom. And the trailer walked at night. I swear it creaked. And that creaking would go down the trailer, you know, because the heat of the day and the coldness of night would make that metal expand and contract. And it was just the creepiest thing in the world. But this fear of the unknown, which is what darkness represents, you know, the fear of dark, which is what that is. The fear of the unknown is not just limited to darkness, of course. Another thing that really makes me nervous is the ocean. I'm afraid of the ocean. I'm not a huge fan of swimming, but also when you're on the boat in the middle of the ocean, there's sea monsters, I swear. Bigger than the boat that can swallow that thing. I just know it. And swimming and not knowing what's below me or swimming around me makes me a little nervous. But again, fear of the unknown is just not for the ocean or the darkness. It's for life too. There are so many things in this life which can remind us of darkness. Fear of looking for a new job, for example. Am I going to find that one that works for me? Am I going to be able to make enough money? Am I going to be able to provide a living for my family? You know, so on and so forth. The fear of the doctor, the diagnosis, cancer, not knowing how that's going to end, not knowing if we're going to be able to get through it, not knowing what medications we're going to need, not knowing what that's going to look like. It's a scary thing. The fear of having a child. Not knowing if we'll be able to raise the child in a proper way, not knowing what they're going to be like when they grow up. The fear of the future. What is it going to look like or be? My parents are at a place of their life. I don't know if fear is a proper description, but there is definitely the unknown. They are on the cusp of retirement. And for those of you who have gone through that already, understand all of the things you have to get in order, in the right place in order to go to retirement. And my parents, for the first time in their lives, are going to probably have to get a mortgage. And so the fear of that and what that looks like. This fear, this darkness that closes in on our lives and in our hearts sometimes can feel all-consuming. In the darkness that we're seeing here, the people walk in the darkness and have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. Light has dawned. The darkness that they're facing is war. And this war that they've been experiencing in their lives, when you read the rest of this particular scripture, you see in verse 4 here, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, that war has finally come to a close and to an end, and God has brought a light to them. And the light for them within that darkness has been hope." Represents the fact that no longer do they not know what's going on into the future or even in their present. But now they have stability because the Lord is with them. Because they're able to see not just tomorrow, but today. I love this idea for Christmas, because again, lights is a very huge theme for Christmas, isn't it? We just had a twinkle tour last night in Trafford, and that was great fun. And when I think about my experiences Christmas growing up, I will say that probably 80 to 90% of all the joyful memories I have in Christmas happened in the evening. How many of you go see lights during the day around Christmas time? Nobody, of course. Shopping usually happens during the evening because that's when we get out of work. We wrap presents in the evening because that's when we usually have time. When we woke up for Christmas morning, it was before the sun ever even rose. And when we came down the stairs, everything was darkness until they flipped the lights on. The truth is that the light can be seen best during the darkness. When my family has a tradition, and only sometimes can I be a part of it, after Christmas Eve services, they go out and they tour all the lights in the area. Sometimes I'm preparing for the next service, so I can't go with them. Last year I was able to, and the lights, of course, are beautiful. But you can only appreciate the lights the best when there's darkness around them. That's when they shine at their brightest. And that's the peace that Christ gives at Christmas time. That darkness that's present in this world isn't just for 4 weeks during the winter. It's not just Advent time. But that darkness is present always. But that light also isn't just for Christmas time. That light is present always. That the darker that darkness seems to get, the brighter Jesus' light shines. There was a time when we were caving one day, pitch blackness, and someone had a camera with them, you know, the old cameras that actually took film in them. And there was a red indicator light to say that the flash was ready. And that red indicator light, which is so small, shone so bright within that pitch darkness. It doesn't take much light to chase the darkness away. And Christ is the light of the entire world. Darkness, what Christmas reminds us, has no match for the light of Jesus that we celebrate. And that should bring us peace. Because in the midst of the unknown, we have Jesus holding us tight. And we thank God for that. With these words today, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.